Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram from Monday, June 16th, 2023, Section A, State and Local News. Patterson UTI NextTier announced $5.4 billion merger. Patterson UTI Energy will be major Permian employer. Combining Patterson UTI Energy and NextTier Oilfield Solutions will create a powerhouse drilling and completions services provider targeting the nation's shale plays. When the all-stock merger, valued at $5.4 billion, is completed by the end of this year, the combined entity will be one of the largest, if not the largest, employer in the Permian Basin, said Andy Hendricks, Chief Executive Officer at Patterson UTI. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by phone, Hendricks, who will serve as CEO of what will be known as Patterson UTI Energy, said customers and employees shouldn't notice any difference once the deal is complete. It will be a stronger company supporting them. It will be a stronger company to invest in new technology, he said. Mergers and acquisitions are nothing new to NextTier, which has been active in the M&A market around the Midland area for a while, according to Robert Drummond, the company's president and chief executive officer. He is set to become vice chair of the board when the merger is complete. We are happy to be doubling down on U.S. shales, especially in Texas, he told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. The combination of the two firms will give Patterson UTI Energy the biggest frack fleet for sure, he said, also praising the great group of employees in the region. Drummond continued, "We are so excited to partner with a company like Patterson. We are of like mind and have similar culture." Hendricks agreed, saying the two companies are of very similar mind, especially when it comes to sustainability and developing low-carbon solutions for their clients. The combined balance sheet and free cash flow will help accelerate the switch to using natural gas to power drilling and completion equipment, Drummond said. In recent years, NextTier has been converting its frack fleets from using diesel to natural gas, which Drummond said has a cleaner footprint and is more economic than diesel. If you're in the region, you've seen our Power Solutions trucks, he said. Those trucks can compress natural gas, transport it to fracking sites, and decompress the natural gas to fuel the equipment. It changes the way we operate, he said. It is good for ESG, and it's equally good from a financial perspective. Both companies have strong engineering profiles and look to innovate, Hendricks said. Patterson UTI especially has been challenged to help customers looking to drill longer laterals and find ways to strike more production. Both companies currently have a significant presence in the Permian Basin, Hendricks said of the company's 125 active rigs, half are at work in the Permian Basin. Drummond said it's his belief technology is helping oil and gas operators produce oil and gas that is more affordable, which benefits both their bottom lines and the bottom lines of Patterson UTI and NextTier. More importantly, he said, people are beginning to understand the importance of reliable, affordable energy. My daughters are in the sector because they realize affordable, reliable energy is key, he said. Earth, Body, and Soul offers healing spaces by Morgan Taylor Thomas. A narrow and unassuming white brick building with a blue door and red overhang sits at the corner of Midkiff Road and West Ohio Avenue. Inside, some of the most authentic and compassionate people inside Midland city limits work daily to help community members through an array of struggles. 5 years ago, Bridget Fulfer and Jason Monaco opened Earth, Body, and Soul, with the intent of bringing spiritual, holistic, and metaphysical practices to light in the tall city. After working as traveling vendors for a year, the couple decided to try their luck with a permanent shop in a boomtown not as openly welcome to their work. Everyone else who used to do this used to hide them in their garages. "But we're not doing anything bad," Jason said. "It's really important to take the fear out of it," Bridget added. "We do have a lot of people that come in asking those questions, but we really try to help people understand there's nothing to fear. Our intention is what matters, of doing good and helping people. That's what we put out there." Hoping to change the negative misconceptions associated with certain holistic and metaphysical healings, Bridget and Jason don't think of themselves or their shop as a current societal trend, but an avenue for customers to find comfort in the uncomfortable, while prioritizing their physical, mental, and emotional health. "It's about being approachable, not just adaptable, and I think that's something we both do really well," Bridget explained. "It's really great that we're able to truly connect and understand. Most of the people we support, we've gone through their struggle in some way, shape, or form. I'm a firm believer that we need to go through it and learn the lesson. We're very honest. We're not going to tell you what you want to hear. But I do feel that some things we go through are preparing us and allowing us to support others in their journey. Crystals, essential oils, sound bowls, Jason's handmade jewelry, and sage make up just a small portion of the items found inside the eclectic rectangle. An inviting and warm aura fills the space, forcing insecurities and egos to stay outside. Ironic, Halloween decor fill empty shelves, while a reading nook furnished by a repurposed love seat and chair can be found in the back left corner. Guests will also find two separate rooms for events such as Reiki, tarot, angel cards, and more. Yet the real success of Earth, Body, and Soul fall to the genuine personalities of Bridget and Jason. Both having had full-time corporate jobs before this, the shop owners said they can relate to feeling lost at one point in their lives, yet being able to find strength through spirituality and turning their empathic gifts into a passion of aiding others amounts to the biggest win in life by far. "We're in a time in society where we are all working really hard to become our most authentic self, and that may not be the same as what we grew up with," Bridget stated. "It's all love and light and positivity. We're there for you, no matter where you are in your life and your journey," Jason added. Earth, Body, and Soul can be found at 333 North Midkiff Road, Suite C. Current hours run 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Wednesday and Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday and Friday. MISD Brian Murray resigns his board seat. Murray served as the representative of District 7 and as president of the school board, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD Board President Brian Murray resigned his position as the representative of District 7 on Thursday. Murray is required to give up his elected position, as his two sons have accepted positions to teach and coach football at Legacy High School, their alma mater. A state nepotism law doesn't allow them to start work for MISD if he is on the board, he previously told the Reporter Telegram. "The night I found out about this, when we heard back from the attorney, I cried most of the night," Murray said, "because this is important to me. We've started really good work and we're not finished yet, and so it was difficult. But I also knew that this was an unbelievable opportunity for my sons. At the end, I just had to decide what was best for my children." Murray has served as the elected representative of District 7, generally Northwest Midland, for 6.5 years and as board president since January 2021. During his time on the board, Midland ISD has been through the Lone Star governance process, worked with three different superintendents, ushered in the era of in-district charters with three different operators, working with four different campuses, closed two different elementary school campuses, dealt with multiple long-term failing campuses, worked with Midland College on opportunities for career and technical education, and put processes in place to reverse last decade's downward trend of declining student outcomes. Midland ISD leaders are currently watching a community bond committee go through options for facilities improvements and what might be part of a bond presentation to the board in July. Murray, a CPA, said he will get back to work at his full-time job and support the district in whatever way is possible as a non-elected official. He said after the meeting he would like to work on the district's school safety committee. He also stated on his Facebook page earlier this week he looks forward to running for the seat again as soon as it is legally possible. Midland ISD board members will appoint Murray's replacement, who will serve until voters in District 7 decide on a person to finish the term in November. "It's really tough work," Murray said. "I cannot emphasize that enough because it's hard and there's hard decisions you make. And sometimes you make people happy and sometimes you don't. But you're given all of these facts and all of the different information about the decisions you make. And sometimes you want to please everybody. But at the end of the day, you can't. And you have to do what's best for the kids." Be sure to check out our retailers, who will be showcasing their Pride merchandise available through the month of June, Midland Park Mall wrote in a news release. The Pride event will take place from 2 to 4 p.m. in Center Court. Many spots around the Lone Star State are noticing slightly higher prices from last week, said AAA Texas spokesperson Daniel Armbruster. But price trends may reverse as crude oil prices fell below $70 a barrel earlier this week. Midland Police Department. State law puts restrictions on ATV use on roadways. By Stuart Doreen. Two juveniles were airlifted to Lubbock earlier this week following an accident involving an ATV on a public roadway in central Midland. Midland Police reminded the Reporter-Telegram that ATVs are not supposed to be on roadways in the city, including alleys. "They can cross a roadway, but not be driven down the street," MPD officers stated in an interview. Sergeant Brian Taylor and Officer Jason Renforth told the Reporter-Telegram that the Texas Transportation Code provides more detail about ATVs, specifically Chapter 55-1A. ATVs are different than golf carts, according to the Transportation Code. Police stated that in the case of the accident on Sunday, that operation of an ATV on public roadway, time of day, and visibility all contributed to what happened. The initial investigation revealed that a Ford F-350 pickup was traveling northbound on Barber Street and a Yamaha ATV occupied by three people was traveling eastbound in the alley of the 300 block of Elm Avenue, the Reporter-Telegram reported. The ATV proceeded to cross Barber Street, resulting in a collision with the truck, according to MPD. The accident took place around 9:23 p.m., and Midland Police Department reported the accident is still under investigation. Officials said this week that ATVs typically lack the required strategic equipment for a vehicle typically traveling on public roadways. Those include headlamps and turn signals. Golf carts are governed by different rules. Those found in Texas Transportation Code Chapter 551, Subchapter F. Operation is authorized in certain areas, like a master planned community, and on a roadway which the posted speed limit is not more than 35 miles per hour during the daytime, not more than 5 miles from the location where the golf cart is usually parked, and 2 and 4 transportation from a golf course. Midland Police Department officials also stated that electric skateboards and scooters are restricted on city roadways, and electric bikes follow the same rules as regular bicycles. Murray resigns. What happens now for MISD Board? By Stuart Doreen. So, Midland ISD Board President Brian Murray resigned. Now what? The school board decided Thursday, following a special meeting, the following. A person will be appointed to temporarily represent District 7, generally Northwest Midland. That person will represent the district through December 2023. A special election will take place in November. The winner of the special election will be sworn in at the January board meeting and fill the seat for the remainder of the term expiring in 2024. The district reported Thursday that interested individuals who meet the eligibility requirements are encouraged to apply. Additional details and application information can be found at midlandisd.net/board. Applications are due by 4 p.m. Tuesday, June 20th, the district noted. The person appointed will serve at a time when decisions about a bond referendum could take place. This isn't information yet about when people can apply to be on November's ballot. Murray stated on his Facebook page earlier this week he looks forward to running for the seat again as soon as it's legally possible. Those appointed and then elected will join a board that Murray said includes members with different opinions, perspectives, and approaches to the way they go about governance. But there's not a single one of us that would be doing this if we didn't care about the kids and what was best for education in Midland. At the end of the day, we have the same goal, Murray said. I don't think there's anybody on this board that doesn't thoroughly believe that better days are ahead for Midland students, and they're going to continue that hard work. Board members said farewell to Murray, including Katie Joyner, who said Murray has been a gift to Midland ISD. Tommy Bishop thanked Murray for a wonderful 6.5 years and said he was appreciative of what Murray brought to the table as a CPA and as a human being. Robert Marcus complimented Murray for having the courage to make decisions for children, as we are their voice. Michael Booker stated Murray took him under his wing and showed him the ropes. The board is losing a good one, Booker said. Sarah Burleson talked about the bond board members had and complimented Murray for doing the right thing as a dad. Brandon Hodges said Murray kept the board centered and then reminded Murray's sons of the huge sacrifice their father was making. Murray is required to give up his elected position, as his two sons have accepted positions to teach and coach football at Legacy High School. A state nepotism law doesn't allow them to start work for MISD if he is on the board, Murray previously told the Reporter-Telegram. Growing oil demand calms rate hike concerns, by Shunzhi Yu and Alex Longley. Oil rose as strengthening demand in China outweighed concerns over further interest rate hikes in the U.S. West Texas Intermediate futures approached $71 a barrel on Thursday, a one-week high. China this week issued larger crude import quotas than a year earlier, and a stimulus package the nation is considering raised hopes for higher demand. While the pace of growth lagged the expectations of some market participants, it was enough to offset the Federal Reserve's warning of higher-than-expected borrowing cost. A little good news from China can go a long way for oil prices, given that it has been the focal point for demand, said Stacy Morris, head of energy research at VettaFi. Still, renewed recession worries are showing up in futures time spreads. Brent's prompt spread flipped into contango, and WTI's contango widened to its most bearish since February. Swelling crude inventories at the storage hub in Cushing, Oklahoma, which have reached the highest since June 2021, are adding to the bearish sentiment. U.S. crude futures have lost 12% this year and drifted sideways in a narrow range since early May, as concerns over a potential U.S. slowdown and a lackluster rebound in China's economy wrestle with Saudi-led supply cuts. China's apparent oil demand last month rose 17% from a year ago, while industrial output also edged higher, according to official data released on Thursday.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Friday, June 16th. Monuments, Men and Women Foundation returns rare document to Italy with support from Odessans. The Monuments, Men and Women Foundation recently restituted a papal bull issued by Pope Pius IX and turned over custody of the rare document to Italian officials. Odessans Sandra and Toby Eoff generously helped underwrite the restitution costs. The papal bull, an official decree issued by the Vatican, was signed by Pope Pius IX in 1862. It established the Catholic Church of Santo Stefano in Scascoli, located south of Bologna, and still in existence today. During World War II, portions of northern Italy were devastated by bombing and artillery, including the church that housed the papal bull. United States Army officer Wolfgang Lehmann, a member of the Ritchie Boys, a special group of American soldiers trained at Camp Ritchie in military intelligence, was attached to the 88th Infantry Division when he found the document among the church rubble, picked it up, and took it home to the United States as a souvenir. Following several years of service, Lehmann was honorably discharged from the United States Army with the rank of major and began a long and distinguished career in the United States Foreign Service. He and his wife are interred at Arlington National Cemetery. His nephew, Walter Lehmann, reached out to the Monuments Men and Women Foundation to identify the object and coordinate its return to Italy. My uncle would have been pleased to know that a document that he rescued from the destruction of war is now on its way back home to the church where he found it 79 years ago, said Walter Lehmann. The restitution ceremony was hosted by the Italian Cultural Institute in New York on Tuesday, June 6th, the 79th anniversary of the historic D-Day landings. We were extremely honored to be part of the return of this papal bull, as it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to connect with the past, both in our Catholic faith and our country's historic service during World War II, Sandra and Toby Eoff said after returning home from the restitution ceremony. Getting to be part of the collaboration between the Monuments Men and Women Foundation, the soldier's family, and Italian authorities for the return of this papal bull was a deeply moving experience we will never forget. Collaborations are essential for the Foundation's continued effort to locate and return works of art and other cultural heritage missing since the end of World War II, explained Anna Bottinelli, President of the Monuments Men and Women Foundation. I am grateful to all those who helped us in our research, from Eric Lee and his team at the Kimball Art Museum to Lieutenant Sebastiano Antosi of the Carabinieri Command for the Protection of Cultural Heritage and Monsignor Sergio Peggiano, Prefect of the Vatican Secret Archives. I also want to express my gratitude to Bank of America for the grant that helped fund a portion of the research, and to Sandra and Toby Eoff for graciously helping to underwrite the restitution costs. If you or someone you know has a work of art or cultural object brought home from Europe that may have been displaced during and after World War II, please call the Monuments Men and Women Foundation on its toll-free tip line, 1-866-WW11-ART, to complete an online submission form at monumentmenandwomenfnd.org/contact-us. The foundation and its team of experts respond to every lead. OPD investigating Dollar Tree theft. The Odessa Police Department is investigating a theft at the Dollar Tree located at 3120 Andrews Highway. According to an OPD press release, the victim reported that she had been shopping at the Dollar Tree, and investigation revealed that while the victim leaned over to read a price tag, an unknown female took a wallet out of the victim's purse, which contained approximately $2,000. The suspect then exited the store and left the scene in a blue Dodge Durango. Anyone who recognizes the suspect in surveillance photos is encouraged to contact Detective N. Troglin at 432-284-2012 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 23-000-3661. OPD investigating theft at Russell Cellular. The Odessa Police Department is investigating a theft that occurred at approximately 3 p.m. May 16th at Russell Cellular, located at 2810 North County Road West. Investigation revealed that an unknown male subject stole approximately $2,150 worth of merchandise. Anyone who recognizes this suspect is encouraged to contact Detective M. Troglin at 432-284-2012 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 23900372. Basin embraces emissions control. Major companies invest heavily to clean up environment. The Permian Basin has survived and prospered as a worldwide energy hub, and it will keep doing so as it sets production records and cuts greenhouse gas emissions. That's according to the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, which just published a treatise on the basin's historic and future importance. Oil and gas naysayers have been quick to predict the end of the energy industry, but the reality is that the future of oil and gas is far from bleak, wrote TIPRO President Ed Longenecker. Longenecker said from Austin that the basin exemplifies the industry's history of constant transformation, evolution, and innovation. Through this lens, the Permian Basin serves as the perfect backdrop for the next era of oil and gas production, he said. The current and projected production of oil and gas in the basin would have been considered unimaginable just a decade ago, but the region has enormous potential even after years of shattering previous production records. The U.S. Energy Information Administration predicts that crude oil production here will jump by 470,000 barrels per day to average 5.7 million barrels per day this year. The completion of new natural gas pipelines will allow producers to transport more of the associated natural gas that's produced along with crude oil to market, removing a potential constraint on crude oil production, the EIA said recently. Producers currently flare some of the natural gas they produce. We forecast that crude oil production in the Gulf of Mexico will increase by 120,000 barrels per day in 2023, while production in other regions of the United States, except for the Permian, declines slightly. The EIA said from Washington that basin production will increase by 350,000 barrels per day next year, while production in the GOM declines a little. It said that the output in other American oil regions will rise by 70,000 barrels per day next year. While benchmark West Texas Intermediate crude oil averages 77 per barrel this year and 72 in 2024, with the break-even price being $50 to $54. Longenecker said the basin is entering its next act, characterized by producers' unwavering efforts to minimize their environmental footprint. From 2011 to 2021, methane intensity in the region fell by over 76%, while flaring density decreased by more than 34% from 2020 to 2021. Longenecker said the state of Texas cut its flaring intensity by 60% in the same period. He said that the Apache Corporation eliminated routine flaring in its onshore U.S. operations in 2021. In January, ExxonMobil announced that it would be halting all routine gas flaring in the Permian and begin launching satellites to track greenhouse gas emissions in the region, Longenecker said. Chevron is minimizing routine flaring in 2023 and will eliminate it entirely by 2030, while Pioneer Natural Resources has committed to ending routine flaring by 2025, 5 years ahead of their previous 2030 target. Longenecker said Occidental Petroleum's goals are to achieve net zero emissions in its operations and energy use before 2040 and eliminate routine flaring by 2030. EOG Resources aims to achieve zero routine flaring by 2025, he said. To meet these impressive goals, industry leaders like ExxonMobil and Diamondback Energy have made substantial operational investments to reduce their emissions footprint, he said. For example, Exxon established the Center for Operations and Methane Emission Tracking, a facility that monitors sensors across their operation in the Permian Basin 24/7, he said. Diamondback Energy invested $20 million in Verde Clean Fuels, a renewable energy company specializing in capturing and transforming wasted natural gas from flaring into gasoline. Collaboration will also play a crucial role in setting new industry standards and in advancing emissions reductions in Texas and the Permian Basin. Longenecker said the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition has brought together operators committed to developing natural resources while improving environmental performance. the Oil and Gas Methane Partnership 2.0 and Project Astra involve leading operators, environmental organizations, and academic institutions that aim to develop innovative technologies and methodologies for reducing methane emissions. Lincoln National Forest raises fire danger rating. Lincoln National Forest has increased the fire danger rating from moderate to high effective June 15th. The measure is a part of an ongoing effort to mitigate wildfire risk in the area. Under high fire danger ratings, fire can start easily from most causes and small fuels such as grass and needles. Unattended campfires and brush fires have the potential to escape and will spread easily. A fire danger rating of high is not a restriction against campfires, however. It is important that visitors are aware of the risks and take the proper precautions. In recent weeks, LNF has responded to nearly 20 abandoned campfires in the area. Unattended or improperly extinguished campfires are a major contributor to wildfire incidents. Visitors to Lincoln National Forest are advised to use extreme caution when using a campfire or outdoor cooking. Ensure all fires are completely extinguished by completely drowning the site with water. And make sure the campfire site is cool to the touch before leaving. These precautions are essential for preventing wildfires in the area. For more information and updates on conditions in Lincoln National Forest, please visit www.fs.usda.gov/Lincoln. Alpine grad accepted to UMSI program. An Alpine High School graduate, Zane Billings, is one of the few accepted into the Texas Tech University Honors College University of Medical School initiative between TTU Honors College and TTU HSC School of Medicine. Billings has a spot guaranteed at TTU HSC School of Medicine in 4 years as long as he maintains a 3.6 college GPA. He was one of only 8 accepted this year. I'm amazed, very grateful, blessed, and kind of in shock because of how big a deal it is not to have to take the MCAT, he said in a phone interview. His father, Adrian, is a family medicine doctor and associate professor at TTU HSC, and his mother, Susan, is a pediatric physical therapist. Medicine has always been the only career path for Billings. My dad is a family doctor, just going on rounds with him in the morning, going on early rounds on Saturday mornings at the hospital when I was little, then to watching my mom as a physical therapist. Medicine's always been the occupation that's been the most prevalent in my life and the one that I'm interested in, Billings said. Following in his father's footsteps, Billings said he plans to go into family medicine because of the clinical aspect of seeing all types of patients from cradle to the grave. It really interests me because I feel like family medicine offers the biggest connection with your patients. I feel like I'll have the biggest impact on others in that specialty, Billings said. He added that he would like to practice in a rural area like where he's from. I know there's definitely a lack of providers in rural areas across Texas, especially West Texas, so that's my goal. I definitely aim to come back to a rural area and help out where I'm needed, Billings said. He added that he really enjoyed shadowing his father and seeing how involved every staff member was. They're having to look at patients' charts and pull them up while they're in the exam room with a patient. Whereas other places in bigger cities and urban settings with plenty of medical providers have nurses that do a lot of the heavy lifting that doctors out here have to do, unfortunately. but shadowing and interning at a medical clinic was definitely very eye-opening. It felt so real. It showed the reality and severity of how much West Texas is in lack of providers. And then, of course, it impacted me seeing patients' relationship and connection with their providers. I was really touched because, again, it showed me how impactful a career in medicine is, Billing said. The Undergraduate to Medical School Initiative program usually accepts 8 to 12 incoming freshmen, he said. I was in shock just because of how many applicants there were and how many incoming freshmen there were. Knowing I'm one of the 8 out of almost 9,000 to 10,000 incoming freshmen, it was shocking to see that I was worthy to be accepted to medical school at a young age. Then, of course, I was grateful to all the wonderful people at Texas Tech and their Health Sciences Center for seeing me as a good candidate to be part of this program, Billings said. When I heard I got in, I was very excited about the opportunities that being an UMSI student would bring to me. A good chunk of your undergrad studies are toward preparing for the MCAT, the medical college admissions test, building up a resume and working on applications, but knowing I don't have to do any of that, provided I maintain a 3.6 GPA, I was really excited about that because it gives me the opportunity to be a little more selective in what I do outside of the classroom. I'll be able to have more time to shadow, more time to look into different specialties of medicine. It really gives me a lot of breathing room per se. So I was very excited and glad about the many opportunities and the kind of leeway it gives me in undergraduate, Billing said. Alpine ISD Superintendent Michelle Reinhart said Billings was likely the only rural kid accepted to the program. I couldn't be more proud of Zane and what he has accomplished during his time at Alpine ISD. Zane models excellence, a thirst for learning, compassion, and a focus on serving others. All qualities that have served him well as an Alpine fighting buck and will make him an exceptional doctor. His admission to this prestigious program is a testament to the excellence in rural communities, both within our students and our public schools, Reinhart said in an email. Maddie Cobb of Whitley Penn graduates from Generations Program. Maddie Cobb, Marketing Coordinator for Whitley Penn, has graduated from the Generations Past, Present and Future program of the Nonprofit Management Center. The Nonprofit Management Center noticed current volunteers of nonprofit organizations lack a working knowledge of board governance, human resource management, fundraising mission, and program issues, leading to low volunteer retention rates. Generations works with participants to solve such issues for many nonprofit organizations today, and further matches them with a local nonprofit board that fits their personal preference and passion. The program teaches skilled candidates how to be informed, committed leaders on nonprofit boards by providing adequate oversight of administration in nonprofit governance. Sessions focus on helping participants build personal and professional networks, strengthen leadership and management skills, serve missions that they support, and increase their visibility in the community. Today, over 420 business professionals have graduated from the program. The class of 2023 completed the program in Odessa on May 23rd. We extend our congratulations to Maddie for completing this distinguished leadership program, stated Kristen Lawler, Chief Marketing Officer, in a press release. Her dedication and commitment to personal and professional growth is a testament to her passion for community development, and the leadership skills she has learned through this program will carry over to future ventures. Cobb is on the Whitley Penn marketing team and is based in the Permian Basin. She has more than 6 years of experience in communications, project management, and marketing. Currently serving as a marketing coordinator in the Midland office, she utilizes her extensive knowledge to serve as the main source of contact for the firm's Midland, Odessa, and Hobbs, New Mexico, professionals within the firm. Cobb is responsible for the development of an extensive number of proposals, which directly support professionals driving revenue into the firm. Her presence in the growing Permian market, also with her dedication to Whitley Penn's Growth Champions program, has played an instrumental role in the firm. She continues to serve as the American Cancer Society Cattle Barons Ball event co-chair in Midland, University of Texas Kappa Alpha Theta Chapter's Marketing and Community Involvement Advisor, and is a member of the Junior League of Midland. Cobb received her Bachelor of Arts in Public Relations from Texas Tech University College of Media and Communication. Texas Armed Services Scholarship Program now accepting nominations. Texas elected officials can now nominate students to receive the 2023-24 Texas Armed Services Scholarship, TASSP, a program from the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. The state of Texas is proud to support our students who have chosen to devote their careers and lives to preserving the sovereignty of Texas and our nation through the Texas Armed Services Scholarship Program, Governor Greg Abbott said in a news release. Texas is profoundly grateful to our service members who served courageously each and every day to protect and defend our communities. I thank the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board and Texas Institutions of Higher Education for providing opportunities to students aspiring to answer this noble calling. Through this scholarship program, we can help ensure Texas military leaders of tomorrow have the funding and resources needed to thrive in their education and beyond. The scholarship, with a maximum award of $15,000 per recipient, is for students participating in Reserve Officers Training Corps, ROTC, or other undergraduate officer commissioning programs at Texas institutions of higher education. Upon graduation, these students will go on to serve in the Texas Army National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, or commissioned officers in any branch of the United States Armed Services. Many Texans serve proudly in our military, said Commissioner of Higher Education Harrison Keller. The Texas Armed Services Scholarship demonstrates our state's appreciation and support for students inspired to military service while helping them achieve their higher education and professional goals. To be eligible, students must meet specific scholarship requirements and be nominated by a Texas senator or representative. Each legislator may nominate one student, and the governor and lieutenant governor may separately appoint two. Students seeking a nomination can find their legislative representatives online, but a nomination may come from any legislator. Nominations for the 2023-24 academic year must be submitted by August 23rd. Aphasia Center of West Texas ready to help community. June is National Aphasia Awareness Month, and more than 2.5 million Americans, including actor Bruce Willis and country music star Randy Travis, suffer from the communication impairment. Aphasia affects a person's expression and understanding of language, as well as the ability to read and write. Aphasia can occur when the language centers of the brain are damaged due to a stroke or other brain injury, explained Kitty Benek, executive director of the Aphasia Center of West Texas. Approximately 1 in 3 stroke survivors is diagnosed with aphasia. 20 years ago, Midlander Gary Davis collapsed in his garden after an aneurysm ruptured in his brain. He survived a coma and was hospitalized for 5 terrifying weeks. Doctor told Gary's wife Ronnie and adult daughter Teresa Davis Hansen that he would never be the same. They were urged to explore nursing home options because he would probably remain in a vegetative state. But Davis, an avid outdoorsman and Vietnam vet, had other plans. The aneurysm left him partially paralyzed and greatly impacted his ability to speak, but he wasn't ready to give up. Davis completed a year of physical therapy through the Veterans Administration Hospital. Then the family found the Aphasia Center of West Texas. Vinek, who described Davis as the longest attending member, said the center has served the entire Permian Basin for 20 years. She said she hopes more West Texans follow in Gary's footsteps. When left untreated, aphasia can become a devastating condition because it affects a person's ability to communicate with family, friends, and caregivers, making it difficult to maintain relationships and participate in daily activities. The Aphasia Center of West Texas is a safe place to access a network of support, Vinek said. Their clients and their loved ones learn aphasia communication strategies and practical tips for living with aphasia. Members pay a low monthly fee to attend, and scholarships are available for those who qualify. Our programs offer a variety of activities to learn and practice adaptive communication techniques, develop meaningful relationships, and regain independence. The goal is to enhance life preparation by using a holistic approach to overcome communication barriers, Vinek added. Program offerings are anchored by conversation groups and expand to include communication skill development and practical communication required during a variety of activities. Activities include gardening, music, cooking, and more. They are chosen based on members' interests and goals. Conversations are facilitated by training staff and volunteers and are structured to allow members a chance to share ideas, thoughts, and opinions. Skill groups are focused on helping members reach their personal goals in reading, writing, comprehension, and expression. Aphasia knows no boundaries of age, gender, wealth, race, or profession. Although adults with aphasia have their intelligence intact, misjudgment from others routinely leaves people with aphasia excluded and marginalized. Without the ability to participate in everyday conversation, almost every activity and life role is at risk. Depression and isolation are common in the aftermath of aphasia. The people and programs here at the Aphasia Center of West Texas empower aphasia survivors to engage in life again, Vinek said. The staff and program at the center offered hope for the Davis family. The Aphasia Center gave Gary a place to go where he could be with others and make friends that have the same concerns, Ronnie Davis said, and gave me a chance as a caregiver to go have the time to do the things I needed to do. The center also holds support classes and shares informative resources for family and friends because aphasia impacts more than just the person with aphasia. Hansen said she would encourage anyone affected by aphasia to seek the center's help. The Aphasia Center has allowed my parents and other people with the same disabilities to see that they can have a life. It might not be the life that they would have had, but it's just as good of a life, Hansen said. They've made some amazing friends, and it's been a huge support for our entire family. If you would like information about aphasia and the services at the Aphasia Center of West Texas, please contact Program Director Beth Crawford at 432-699-1261 or visit aphasiawtx.com. OCHOPE.org. OC hosts topping out ceremony for Health Sciences Building. Odessa College reached a huge milestone Thursday with a topping out ceremony for the Wood Health Sciences Building, now under construction on campus. Estimated cost for the four-story, 83,000-square-foot building is $45 million. Vice President of Advancement, Business and Governmental Relations, Jackie Gore said, of that, Gore said $42 million has been committed. The general contractor is MW Builders, and the architect is JSA Architects. Odessa College employees were joined by administrators, members of the OC Board of Trustees, and Wood Health Sciences Building donors to write messages on the beam in metallic marker before it was lifted and placed in its final position, the news release said. President Gregory Williams said he wrote, "This is pretty cool. A topping out ceremony is a builder's tradition held when the last beam is placed atop a structure during the construction process. The practice of topping out a new building can be traced to the ancient Scandinavian practice of placing a pine tree atop a new building. After the needles have fallen off the tree, the builders knew the wood frame below had cured or dried out so they could enclose the building," the release said. In OC's case, it was a small synthetic Christmas tree. MW Builders Operations Manager Brent Bond said, "They had dedicated more than 45,000 man-hours into the project with no injuries. We are really confined inside of this fully functioning campus, so we couldn't do that without the help from Odessa College and coordinated efforts. They've helped us coordinate over 150 trucks full of concrete in and out of the facility safely without any injuries, as well as over 600 tons of steel. As we see behind us here, that's not even taking into account all of the daily deliveries that we do. We couldn't do it without their help," Bond said. He added that they hope to wrap up the project in 2024. Gore said the building has been in the works for 4 years. The initial plan was to renovate the existing Health Sciences Building. Then it was decided to construct a new building. "We spent a year discussing this project with community leaders and potential donors to gauge interest and launch the campaign in July of 2020, Gore said. That was when COVID numbers were high and oil prices were low. The Wood Family Foundation led the campaign by making the commitment to name this building. Their commitment was followed by Medical Center Health Systems, which named this simulation hospital, which takes up the entire first floor that's framed out here today, followed by Odessa Development Corporation," Gore said. She also thanked the Permian Strategic Partnership, Grow Odessa, Mackenzie Scott, Odessa Regional Medical Center, the Scarborough Foundation, the Abel Hanger Foundation, J.C. Ferguson Foundation, and many others. JSA President Cruz Castillo said the first floor will have a 21,000-square-foot simulation hospital. The building also will include patient labs, debriefing rooms, a 450-plus-seat meeting room, a large lecture hall, classrooms, faculty offices, and support spaces. Castillo said, "It is exciting to see the structure completed so the interior infrastructure of the building can be created. It's taken a long time to get this point, so it's a tremendous milestone for the project," Castillo said. William said the building is important because it allows OC to continue to raise the bar when it comes to healthcare and the community. He added that this building will ensure students to hit the ground running. In his remarks, Williams said the world was looking at Odessa College. there are a number of colleges who talk to us and who want to know how we do what we do. It starts with a great board of trustees who honor and represent this community. It also exemplifies the community spirit that we have in Odessa. We understand that we're in West Texas. We understand we're not one of those very large cities along the I-35 corridor. We have to be creative and innovative, and we have to support each other. We have to stand together, Williams said. We have a goal of 10,000 students in the fall semester. When I started here 17 years ago, we had over 4,000 students. We doubled that, and now we're heading for 10,000 students because we need more people educated in West Texas. Higher education needs to have a bigger impact, so we will work with ECISD, with UT Permian Basin and Midland College, with all of the area public schools and high schools so that we can get more and more people into college so that they can live their dreams, Williams said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.